When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. It's about 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. And I got a whole room full of studs here. Yeah. Bill's looking around like, where? Bill Hoster is here. He is the mayor of Leeds and also integral part. Are you the head of the Hurricane Valley Fire District right now?
Board chair.
Yeah, that's what it's called, chair. That doesn't sound like a head of anything if you're a chair, but that's what it is. Also here is a Hurricane Valley Fire Chief, Joe Decker. Hi, Joe. You doing all right over there?
Doing great. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for coming in. And Tokerville Mayor Justin Sipp is here as well. Hi, Justin.
Good to be here, Andy. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are in the house. And I wish I had one more microphone. If you wanted, we could have one of you go in that room and use that microphone if you don't want to share a microphone. Otherwise, we can...
Joe and I are close. We can share a mic.
Okay. Bill gets his own mic because, you know, he's Bill.
Because I'm Bill.
He's Bill, yeah. I don't know what that means exactly. But
me neither. I don't.
Bill.
We'll find out at the break, I guess.
All right, let's talk about why these guys are here, why you're here. What is on your mind? I know there's a big meeting coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, usually, you know, we'll talk about politics on Thursday mornings here. And we will. This is a good, you know, political topic. So the Hurricane Valley Fire District is going to be holding a truth and taxation on October the 7th.
Okay, let's stop for a second. Let's say, what does that cover? Who is the Hurricane Valley Fire District?
Yeah, so the Hurricane Valley Fire District covers, I think it's about 7 municipalities.
Okay.
And some unincorporated areas within Washington County.
So we're going like Hurricane, Leverkin, Tokerville, Leeds.
Virgin, Rockville. Springdale, and then unincorporated areas.
Okay. All right. That's a big area.
It is. It's an enormous area. And Mayor Sipp is also on our board, which is why we've got him here today. And, you know, so the board has been trying for... oh, gosh, almost 3 years now, to try and supplement the service, the level of service that we need in fire and EMS for that large area. We have been pulling out of reserves to try and finance it. And so we had basically 3 times that we've tried to fix it. The first time was when I very first came in. And the prior board had a 0.89% increase on the tax. It was pretty high. We were all shocked as a board. We turned it down immediately as a recommendation to the county commissioners, and then went back to the drawing board and started to get very creative. We cut corners where we could, as deep as we could on the fire budget, and then identified that we may have a pathway with a sales tax through the state. So that was surfaced up to the state legislature through Joe Elison, our representative, and went through without any problems. And so that was kind of a win until we got it back. And we realized there were a couple of gaps in the way that legislation was written that allowed... it kind of gave this taxation without representation claim for some areas that didn't want to participate in that. And so the whole county, the way it was wrote, would be voting on it. And yet some areas didn't want that service. And, so it just needed a little band-aid on it. And so our third strike, we went up to the state legislature this last time and, we petitioned for basically a modification of this law that was already passed, that already went through appropriations, went through everything. And we unfortunately did not get through the Senate. We had unanimous in the House committee, in the House, and in the Senate committee, and it just didn't make it into the Senate vote. So had some very candid conversations with Senator Ipsen, with Senator Vickers, also Representative Elison, with regard to our confidence level about being able to get this in on the next session, which is very high in their response to me. So in it doesn't give us the opportunity, though, to say, well, we're comfortable with that. We're not going to worry about this sales tax going through. We want to make sure that everyone in this fire district is protected and safe. And so, as a parachute, we said, hey, look, we've got to go through with truth and taxation. We're about 2.3 million short. We've been pulling it out of our savings. This is going to be happening with a public hearing, October the 7th. And then the board will be able to make a recommendation the following day to the county commissioners, if this should pass it, or be put on, the ballot. So, gosh, I'm trying to think of what else I could tell you about it.
Well, let's make sure we clarify exactly when the meeting is. You mentioned, yep, October 7th. It's at 6 o'clock, and it's at the Hurricane Fine Arts Center. What do you expect, by the way, when we get to that?
I'm going to have Justin standing in front of me.
All right, Justin.
And Chief Decker over here. No.
Well, I do have some questions for Chief Decker as well in a minute. But, Justin, what do you expect when we get to that meeting on the 6th?
Well, I'm always hopeful that...
7th, my bad.
The 7th. Yeah. I'm always hopeful that we have good support. Bill brought up the fact that we're trying this tax, the sales tax item. So the truth in taxation is just a stopgap. So this tax, if we do the tax increase, if we approve it and... Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks, it won't go into effect until the end of 25. And if the state can get us the sales tax before then we'll just reverse this tax increase. And that's what I want people to understand.
Okay.
If we can get the state to come back and say, hey, we approve your sales tax increase, and it's not a lot, it's a tiny, tiny amount of sales tax, that will negate our need for this tax increase. So that's where I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that people can see, hey, this is a stopgap. In case we don't get the sales tax, we can keep funding, and that won't even go into effect for a full year.
Okay.
So that's the one thing. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of, you know, the last meeting we had, and Bill talked about, he just barely got on the board. The first meeting I went to as the board, on the board, was the night of that big meeting or the truth in taxation. I show up and we've got an 89%, and he said, you know, it's 89% tax increase what they were asking for. Wow. Almost. So it was huge. And I immediately said, no, we had 300 people there and we understood. And the nice thing is everybody had the same thing. Let's get the tourists to help pay for it, because they use a lot of it. So if we can hook it onto sales tax some way, then the tourist will help pay for our EMS. So that's what we've been shooting for the last 3 years, is to get that through the state and have it happen. But it's taken so long that we are losing money. We don't have the money to keep pulling out of savings. So we have to do a small tax increase this year, just in case we don't get it for next year.
Okay.
So this is just a stopgap. If we can't do it, this is a way to do that. So hopefully citizens understand that this tax increase hopefully goes away. So,
I have a question that you may not even know the answer to, but I'm curious about. So we talk about sales tax. They have bandied about the idea of eliminating sales tax on food,
right,
in Utah.
Yes.
How would that affect what you're talking
this
about?
This doesn't. So that's a nice thing. This sales tax does not go on food. It doesn't go on medical supplies. Bill, what
fuel.
Else is fuel? There's no fuel increase. It's only on
prepared food is taxed.
Yes, prepared food is
so like
you go
a
to
restaurant,
yeah. Right? But if you go to the grocery store and all that, it's not on that. So it's going to help quite a bit, and we're talking 3.3 cents of an increase. It's not a big increase.
Okay.
So
okay, let's get,
yeah,
Joe in here for a second and talk, Joe, about the money shortfall and you trying to do your job, trying to keep things from burning down, and the fact that you don't have enough money to get the job done. How does that affect your day to day?
Absolutely. It's been an interesting last couple of years as we've progressed through this process. You know, when we went through our last truth in taxation, I was new also. I came in as a deputy chief over at that time, and mm-hmm. I think I'd only been employed with the district for about 2 months. And went through, wow, that process, and we heard. But, you know, trying to maintain the level of service we are today is the goal. We're not looking to increase our level of service. We're not looking to add employees. We're looking to just try to maintain where we are. And I think the shocking numbers are is how busy Hurricane Valley Fire District actually is. We're projected to do about 6,300 calls this year.
Okay, so do the math, folks. 365 days, 6,300 calls. That's approaching at least 20 a day.
Pretty close. Yeah. You know, and some days are slower, some days are busier, right? That's the average. But some interesting numbers. So last year, 2023, we ended the year at 5,118 calls. Mm. So we're looking at doing almost 1,200 more calls this year than what we did last year.
Without any more money.
And the year before that, in 22, we did 4,800 calls. So you can see the continual growth that we're having in our district. We've maintained, we've cut everything we can out of the budget. We've taken any fluff out of it. We've eliminated positions that are not needed in the organization. I've combined positions. So we have really streamlined and done everything we physically can other than laying off frontline staff. Which we don't want to do because of our numbers continue to keep going up. We're looking for, you know, as fast as we can get somebody. Somebody's having a heart attack. We want to get there as quick as we can. Somebody's home's burning down. You know, fires grow by 50% every 30 seconds. These are some interesting facts that time equals, you know, life safety.
Yeah.
And life safety is one of the most important things that a local government should be looking at.
So you're, when we're talking about getting this money, you're talking about just trying to maintain where you're at. You feel like you're doing a good job right now. You just want to hang with that. You want to stay where you're at, not, I don't know. I mean, I guess my first thought is, okay, more money, they're going to buy more trucks and they're going to hire more employees. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that is not the case at all. We're looking just to maintain where we are. I will say part of this is to give our frontline staff a little bit of a pay bump. Mm-hmm. We are the lowest paid in the county right now. You know, we ask our medics to do a lot of schooling, put themselves on the line, and they're sticking with us because they hope there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But I'll be honest, they could go to another organization right now and make 15 to 20% more than what they're making with us.
How many people work in the Hurricane Valley Fire District?
So total with my administrative staff, I have 71 right now.
71, that's a lot of employees. And really, you're in charge. We talked about all the cities, everybody that is in the Hurricane Valley Fire District. We're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people that need your services.
Yeah, we serve a population of about 37,000 people, with a tourism influx of about 5 million people a year.
Yeah.
So, and let's compound on the tourism fact for a second. I give you some interesting numbers, and these are hard numbers. 29% of our services go to tourism-based people outside of our district.
Almost a third.
And I can back those numbers up by our billing through our EMS services and everything. We take whoever's addresses are outside of our district, and that's where that 29% comes from.
That's a lot of folks using you that aren't paying for you.
Correct.
Basically is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. And hopefully this is sales tax, maybe they'll at least start paying for some of it when they buy stuff in the Hurricane Valley District.
Exactly. Yeah. If they stay in a hotel in our district, they would pay that tax. If they go to a restaurant, they would pay that tax.
Now, Washington County has a search and rescue, so this does not include that, right? This is different, separate from that.
Does not include that. This is separate from that.
And what are the most common calls that you guys have? I mean, is it, you know, an old guy having a heart attack? I include me in that old guy group, me and Bill.
I'll take it, Andy. Thanks for the love, my friend.
Well, it's the gray beard that gave it. You got the good, yeah. Or is it? I mean, what are most of your calls?
You know, it really varies, honestly.
Does it? Okay.
But I can honestly tell you, a majority of our calls are EMS in nature. We have a lot of cardiac issues. We have an aging population, which goes along with that. During the summer months, a lot of rescue stuff. You know, we have a lot of stuff with Sand Hollow, Quail Creek. You know, we have the two largest bodies of water in our district. We're going to have the third here fairly soon in Tokerville.
Yeah.
So it's kind of all over the place. But a lot of medical is what we deal with. So.
Yeah. We have a lot of events that do come through here.
Yeah, we have an extremely large event starting today, actually. Red Bull Rampage is all in our area that we have to do standby support for them.
Red Bull. So. Are you going to be up there in one of those planes?
Skateboard. I'm too old for that now. I don't. It hurts when I fall, so I don't want to do that.
Come on, Joe. let's get Mayor Sip in here for just a second and talk a little bit about Tokerville. Now, obviously, we see Hurricane explosive growth. We see, you know, we go Leeds is growing like crazy. But you guys have, of course, with the new reservoir and then the proposed new subdivisions that are going to be coming in. Originally, I don't know if the numbers are the same, but originally it was like 1,700 to 17,000 in a decade or something. Is that still looking like that's all?
It's happening. I don't think 17,000. That might be a little high, okay. But, you know, maybe 6,000. But okay. We go from 800 homes to 6,000. That's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
And Tocqueville, we're growing tremendously now. I mean, we have the potential. The bypass road is going in. Hopefully, yeah. We'll finish that soon. And there's just a lot of stuff going on in Tocqueville, and that's why we need, you know, eventually we'll have to have a firehouse in Tocqueville somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a lot of growth. Hurricane's growing, Leverkin's growing. They're talking about the Upper Bench. That whole east side of the county is starting to grow.
I think we talked about this when you were on by yourself before, but with the reservoir and the bypass road and the new subdivisions and everything, is Old Tocqueville going to get lost? Are there unintended consequences of nobody's ever going to go there except for those that live there? And is that a good thing?
Well, if a lot of locals say that's a great thing. Nobody, yeah. You know, we'll get the highway or the main traffic out of downtown Tocqueville.
Right.
That's why I'm on the city council and the mayor now, is I want to protect downtown Tocqueville. I want to keep downtown Tocqueville, you know, quiet and rural and, you know, more agricultural based like it is, and then have all the growth over on the new highway. So that's, you know, I'm trying to protect the old part of town. But I would love to rejuvenate it, you know, clean it up, fix the road, do some things, you know, get rid of the overhead power, and fix the highway, make, you know, have it open. I'd love to have a small, quiet community that people would love to come downtown and just hang out.
And like walkable even,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Very walkable.
Where, if you don't have cars zipping by at 50 or 60 miles an hour, it'd probably be a lot more walkable.
It would be. Our speed limit's 40 through town, and every time I drive through, I go 40, and I have a line behind me because everyone wants to go much faster.
Why is this guy going so slow? Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
50, 55 through town is common. Our sheriff's department's doing a wonderful job. They are pulling a lot of people over for us and helping us slow it down. So,
but that does magnify the fact that you're growing, magnify the need for, you know, Chief Decker and the extreme pressure put on to have good EMS and fire services.
Yeah, and that's it's all about safety, public safety, the welfare of the citizens. That's what we're here for. You know, we want to make sure everybody is protected, and if they need something like fire or EMS, we have it quick and we have it ready for them. And the people that are showing up are trained and are well qualified to do the job.
Yeah. All right, Bill, I want to ask you, any reservoirs being built in Leeds anytime soon? Or?
Not that we're aware
okay.
of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had the water guy on, Zach Renstrom, on yesterday,
yeah,
and he didn't mention that. So. No. But Leeds growing as well, right?
We are. Yeah. We have a whole area that's kind of right next to Darcy's project up there, Firelight, that's been approved for development. And so we're working through some of the kinks with that and looking forward to see what they do, but it'll be probably about 750 homes there.
Wow.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. If you go, what, 2.3 per home, right?
Yeah, it does. It triples the people on our roads. So it's, we're not excited about it, but, you know, it's inevitable, excited. And we're grateful to be at the table to work with the developers and make it, you know, aesthetic for the people that already live there.
Well, and one thing I know about you, Bill, is you're a red-blooded American, and you believe that if someone owns property, it's their right as an American to build something on that property as long as it doesn't violate it, you know, the zoning or whatever.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's important. So as fun as it would be sometimes to say, yeah, we don't want anybody else. Don't come in. That's pretty un-American.
The NIMBYs, not in my backyard. Like it happens. So. But yeah, we're grateful. We've got some good developers we're working with over there, and they're really accommodating.
Okay, the meeting again is October 7th at 6:00 at Hurricane Fine Arts Center. Truth and Taxation. I guess you want people to know what the money is needed for, how much the money is going to be per person. Do you guys have an estimate about what it's going to cost a homeowner, a resident in the Hurricane Valley Fire District?
Yeah, Chief Decker's got these numbers. I've got them right off of my notice that I received for my home property. The current rate right now is
this point one that I'm holding.
Yep. Yeah, you've got one of them. Okay. So 0.000699, and the new rate would be 0.001063. Yeah, it's a small increase. You know, it's relative. Your taxes aren't going up, you know, anywhere near even up a full percent to fund this. It's a percentage of a percentage for the district, and that part needs to be understood by the taxpayer. And I agree, they should know exactly where it's going, and the services that are being offered. A ISO rating is something that your insurance looks at to insure your home, and so to maintain that rating, they're going to need this stuff, which also impacts you on your insurance fees each year. And you know, it's, I think something else that we want to make sure people are aware of is that if we can get this sales tax in, we're planning to go lower on property tax than we were in 2024. We can even roll that back. Kind of a new thing for government, right? But you know, you're not dealing with your normal politicians. We really believe in people's rights and lower taxes, and so we're trying to make sure that we still have that level of service and safety for the community. But it does cost. It's not free.
When will we know about the sales tax versus this tax, so we'll know what's going to happen?
This next legislative session, we'll know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is when? I know, put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
It starts in January, goes through March.
Okay. It's March 15th, right there. Yeah.
Chief is on it. Way to go, Chief. And he's got like three pages full of facts and figures, too.
Yeah.
As well. Do you know the approximate cost for a household if this tax goes through?
So it ranges, obviously, but if we look at an estimated value in our district, which we got from the county, is $467,000 on a home. It adds about $111 a year.
Okay.
And I have to be very specific to that. It is a year, so if you break it
down,
it's
about
$10 bucks a month.
About $10 a month. Yeah. Okay. That's reasonable, it seems like to me. Again, though, if you guys will go over, it's only going to happen if the sales tax thing doesn't go through. Did I misunderstand that?
It'll still facilitate, but it'll be a year in arrears. If we get the sales tax in, then we can climb right back in and reverse this and actually lower the taxes.
Okay.
It's when those actuate. Their timing doesn't.
Those are insurance words, Bill. I'm not good at insurance. In fact, we have Mayor Staley from Washington City on occasionally. His trade.
That's his world.
He's an insurance guy, and he says everybody's hating on me because the insurance rates are so high right now. He says,
crazy.
I just am passing on what the actual big companies tell me what I have to say. So, I think auto insurance is the worst one right now. It's gone crazy.
Well, that's, I think, a really good point to, you know, examine or discuss is that our costs at the fire department don't just stay static. Our costs for fuel have gone up. Our costs for labor have gone up. Our insurance costs have gone up. All of these things have been increasing for the department and for those services for the community that we've got to also address.
I was reading something the other day, and Chief, maybe you can talk about this. A big chunk of our firefighters, our EMS professionals, our first responders are volunteer. Do you have a lot of volunteers in the Hurricane Valley Fire Department, Fire District?
I actually have one paid per call is what we call them now.
One?
Left. And she is in Leeds.
Yep.
She responds whenever there's an incident over there. And it's great that she can maintain. Volunteerism itself is a great thing. Mm-hmm. I started out in the fire service as a volunteer and worked my way through that. And the unfortunate part is the requirements from NFPA, OSHA, everything now has gotten so strict. It is so hard to maintain all your certifications, all your qualifications as a volunteer. And, you know, coming from the volunteer world, I can always say it's the same 10 people that volunteer for everything, right? They're the firefighters or the EMS. They're the people that are coaching baseball. They have a church calling. And eventually it goes to the point of, what can I do? I want to serve, but I want to spend time with my family also. So, you know, things get given up, and it, volunteerism just isn't what it was back in the day when I was younger, or us in this room were a little bit younger, and it just unfortunately is kind of going away.
Yeah. So.
Well, I don't think that there's people who wouldn't love to do that. It's just not a reality. It's nothing that, you know, if we could implement it, that it would suffice. Like the chief has said, you know, we're putting their lives at risk when they're not fully trained to handle these situations. Even though they've got the heart and the passion to go in and do all these things, it's just going to cause a bigger problem.
Yeah, especially like Chief was saying, with all the training and requirements nowadays, that being a volunteer is almost too much.
Yeah,
yeah, and to illustrate your point about volunteerism, just in a church meeting, ask for a volunteer to say a prayer. You can almost guarantee the same four or five people are the ones that are going to raise their hands.
So yeah,
that's the way it goes. So,
wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Bill Hoster is here. He is the mayor of Leeds. Also, Justin, right? Didn't that the person? Justin Stipp is here, the mayor of Tokerville, and Joe
Decker.
And there's Robert Stoker. So we got Stoker and Decker. So I get two fire guys mixed up a little bit, but I think I got it down. But let's bring Joe in for just a second, Chief Decker, and talk a little bit about taxes. Also, if you want to call into the show, by the way, you're welcome to at 673-5890. 673-5890. You say, wait a minute, these guys are trying to raise my taxes. What's going on here? Yeah, you can call 673-5890. You can text me as well at 467-5842. That's my text line. Joe, do a little more explaining for us, will you, please?
Okay. So one question we do get a lot of about property taxes is, you know, in our area we've had thousands of homes built, new people are coming in and everything, right. And how come you're asking for more money if all these people are coming in?
Yeah.
Well, property tax system in the state of Utah, and I will say it, I say is broke.
It's broke.
The easiest analogy we can use.
Wait, it's broke out of money or it's broken?
It's broken.
Broken, okay.
So there's a mill levy that is tied to that, which is the number that we talk about of what your percentage you pay on your property taxes. Sure. That number, depending on growth, depending on property evaluations, goes up or down, depending on your years. So the easiest analogy to say is Hurricane Valley Fire District gets a pie. Okay. What like happens pie. when you bring more people to the pie? What happens to you on your slice?
It gets smaller.
That's exactly what happens with property taxes. Is there a small mechanism built into it for new growth? Yes. But it's not at the same rate of what the current taxation is. So how property taxes work is we say as an organization this year we need, and I'm just going to choose some arbitrary numbers here, $4 million, okay? Next year, you're guaranteed that $4 million, and doesn't matter how many people move in or move out or how many properties go in their way, that slice either gets bigger or smaller for each individual person. So as more people are moving in, your slice gets smaller.
That's a good thing.
So it is a good thing.
Unless you like pie.
Until you like pie, or until it comes time to your numbers continue to grow. And like with us, with our service, is getting more and more strenuous on us, and we don't have that new growth in the income to pay for new employees, okay, pay for new trucks. Pay
so
for
instead new. Of the new people coming in, the income turning to 5 and 6 million, it still stays at 4.
Yeah, you get a very, like I said, very small percentage of new growth, which is usually anywhere between 2 and 3%, is what we've seen in the history, and it doesn't work the way that people think it does, and that's why we look at our mill levy rates over the last 8-9 years. Mm-hmm. They've continually went down every single year. But then you get people that say, hey, wait a minute, I only paid this much last year, and now I'm paying this much. Well, the county, by law, has to reassess your home every 5 years.
Yeah, we love that.
So
yeah.
If you get your assessed value goes up, what's going to happen? Even though the tax rate comes down, you're going to probably pay a little bit more of that pie. So hopefully that explains a little bit of it. Yeah. It's kind of the easiest way.
Now, you're a firefighter. What did you ever think you'd be trying to figure out all this tax stuff and everything 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, I was a city manager.
Okay, so you had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, so actually, I've been in fire most of my adult life, 27 years. Prior to moving to Hurricane Valley Fire District, I was in a smaller community east of here, Kanab. And I served.
You were the city manager there?
I was the city manager slash fire chief. I did dual roles there.
Really?
For a long time. So,
Bill, what's your problem, man? Mayor,
my problem.
Fire chief, police chief.
Trying to retire.
Do all those things.
Andy?
So, you know, my wife, by the way, is the executive assistant to the city manager of Washington City.
Okay.
So I am privy to a lot of the inner workings of a city and know how much work a city manager has to do. That's a big job,
yeah.
By the way. And it's one of those jobs you have to fire people on occasion, which I'm told. I don't think I've ever fired anybody personally in my life, but that's one of the hardest parts of the job, right, is having to fire someone that knowing what it's going to do to their life.
It's not fun. It's definitely not. And, you know, interesting fact, since we are a fire district, right, we're mm-hmm. not part of a municipality, the chief of a fire district is really similar to what a city manager does. They're the chief administrative officer for the district. We handle the financing. We handle the HR. We handle the legal. Everything a city manager does, I do the same thing. So we're a little different than what a fire department does with the city, where they just have to worry about their fire department. I've got to worry about the whole aspect of the inner running of the government of our district.
Wow.
So.
Now, what town do you live in? Are you? I'm not allowed to ask that.
No, that's fine.
No, you're good. I still live in Kanab.
Oh, you do?
I do.
That's a commute, man. You do that every day?
No. I stay over here most nights. Our office is Monday through Thursday. I stay over here usually Tuesday and Wednesday nights.
Okay.
So I'm here most of the time, but then I like to go home on the weekends.
Have you seen Bucky lately? Bucky Orton?
I went to high school with Bucky.
Tell Bucky I said hi. Yeah. Bucky, one of my favorite Bucky Ortons. By the way, Bucky Orton's kind of almost a local Kanab legend. Ended up playing. He did play in the NFL a little bit, didn't he? I know he played college.
He did play college. I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you. You know, we played in high school together, and after that, everybody went their separate ways. So I'm not sure. I should ask him. He lives down the street from me. So
I'm doing Dixie College broadcasts. Dave Rose was the coach at the time, and Bucky, of course, a great football player. He played on the Dixie College football team. When the football season ended, he then joined the basketball team because he was a pretty good basketball player, too. So we're sitting down there at a tournament down in one of the high schools in Vegas, a Durango or one of those. And Bucky, brand new to the team, they're going through warm-ups now. Those of you that follow basketball know you can't dunk once the referees show up. That's a no-no because you can get a technical foul. Well, the referees were late getting there, so the players were going through the line, dunking the ball, showing off for the fans and everything. Bucky goes up to dunk it, hangs on the rim maybe just a little bit too long, and shatters the backboard. And I'm sitting next to Dave Rose doing an interview, and I just remember Dave Rose. He just kind of bowed his head, put his hands in his head and said, I can't believe, because, you know, at the time it was a junior college program, and those backboards are not cheap. And I think Dave Rose saw, okay, I just lost a recruit because I can't afford to go fly somewhere and recruit a kid next year. But, yeah, great Bucky Orton story. He broke the backboard.
Yeah, Bucky's a good guy.
He is a really good guy. Came back to coach. Is he still coaching Kanab High School football?
He's not.
He's not. I know he won a state championship there. Mm-hmm. As the head coach, what's he doing nowadays? Anyway,
I know he's still teaching, and he has a side business he does now. And
there you go, Bucky.
You know, I think that's what he stays busy doing.
Very cool. I wrote a story about him once and nicknamed him the Sheriff, and Sheriff Bucky Orton. And his sister called me and said, "You know, that's what we used to call him when he was a kid." So. I guess I got lucky on the nickname there, but anyway, yeah, we're sorry. I have digressed quite a little bit, and but Justin and Bill, I appreciate you guys being here as well. It's very rare we have a double up on Mayor Thursday and have two mayors on one show. That's kind of cool, and I guess we only have a few minutes left, but an update on what's going on with your cities. We'll start over here with you, Mayor Sid.
Well, Tocqueville, we're still working on the bypass road. It's just a process. So we've ran into some, slopes we've had to change. Our big cut through the hog's back has been a big problem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got a new water tank built. Very nice. We're hooking that into the system soon. Our reservoir is on hold a little bit, but I don't know if Zach talked about that, but.
It's funny, when I said, now tell us what's up with Chief Tucker Reservoir, and he kind of laughed, and I'm like, okay, what does that mean? So maybe you can update us a little bit. It's on hold because
How far into this we get? So
FEMA, 10 minutes.
FEMA came in and said, "Hey, you didn't ask our permission. BLM gave its permission. Everybody else gave its permission, but FEMA thought that you know there's been water out there somewhere." And I've made the joke. I think the last time there was actually enough water there was when Noah was unloading his animals.
Yeah,
there's just not ever been enough water ever there to worry about FEMA. So that's. You know, FEMA has put a kibosh on it, and we're working through it, and hopefully we'll get back to it soon.
All right.
So that's basically, you know, and we've got the Firelight development. We're trying to get the road open so they can start building homes and go vertical.
I told the Firelight guys, they were on a few weeks ago. I said, it kind of sounds attractive. I might become a Tokerville resident at some point.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful up there. The views are stunning. Pine Valley to the northwest, and you get Smithsonian Butte to the southeast. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's just everywhere. We have red rocks out there that people haven't ever really, not other than Tokerville people, don't really know there's a big chunk of red rock out there. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Nice. The old-time Tokerville residents embracing this Firelight, or are they kind of like, oh, boy?
Yeah, there's some that are okay with it, and there's a lot that aren't. But back to Bill's point of view and my point of view is property owners have rights. You know, the Fifth and the 14th Amendment goes right into it, talks about equal rights and property rights. So, and that's where it needs to be. You know, they say, well, taxpayers. I said, well, those people have paid taxes a lot of years on that empty property. You know, so they're taxpayers also.
Yeah, good point. Let's turn to Bill Hoster. Bill is the mayor of Leedstown, or just Leeds, depending on who you ask. And well, if, any progress, anything to update us on what's going on in Leeds?
You know, some of this progress has really inconvenienced the citizens of Leeds. It tore up our main street for the last 6 months, and was just a disaster. We're so grateful that just wrapped up this last week. Was supposed to be done back in July. Now we're the end of September, and it just finally got done. So we're back to a little bit of normalcy, but we do have growth areas too. You know, just kind of to the south of this Firelight is another development. They keep changing the name of it on me. I think it's Silver Cliffs now. It was Grapevine Wash prior to that. But these two will connect. There's expected to be a hotel that'll be going in up there. Should be really nice. I think the Four Seasons development is somehow associated with this, but you know, it's kind of a lot of the things Mayor Sipp just hit on. That whole area is gorgeous, and those property owners have anticipated getting to the point of building it. A lot of people move to Leeds to get away from that stuff, but it's property rights, and we can't just say, you know, well, we're here first, you got to go away, unless we buy it, you know. But other than that, we're hopeful that we have good developers who want to work with the existing residents, and we do, that we can have something really nice.
You actually addressed the question I was going to ask you, because you're a man of the world. You've been around a lot of different places, and you are one of those that moved to Leeds to kind of get away from the rat race, and the rat race is kind of, some of it's coming to you.
Yeah. You know what's good? I've seen bad rat races. If that's a, you know, it,
yeah.
And we've seen really bad rat races, and some of them are kind of down here. So I'm glad to see, you know, responsible mayors like Mayor Sipp and myself and some others in the area really taking hold of this, with Zach and our county commissioners, and really all trying to work together and make it so that it's not the bad rat race. It's controlled. We don't have all the traffic jams and issues, and that it's financed well, and people want to be here.
Now, over in Toker, they're doing that bypass road.
We'll be connecting to that.
I was going to say, there's no bypass right around Leeds. You have the one road that goes through town. Do you see traffic being a problem someday?
Oh, yeah. So the effort is that in that Grapevine Wash area, that will connect to that bypass road. So that'll be their secondary. And then their main will go out to that main street. And they'll have to take Main Street to get down to St. George. Or right now we're in the works of doing a study for an interchange that would be up north of that to accommodate all of that. Those efforts are, being, you know, assessed by the Department of Transportation, the MPO here and such, and then, you know, we can make some decisions off some educated information.
All right.
Yeah, that's a proposed exit 25 or 26.
I think so. Yeah.
It's being studied now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Tocqueville is exit 27, and we're trying to modernize that and get it straightened out a little bit as well.
All right. It boggles the mind sometimes for those of us that have been here a long time. I know you guys know what I'm talking about. It's like, wow, little old southern Utah is growing up. There's some growing pains involved with that as well.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I'll say it, we've always heard the, hey, don't California my Utah, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll tell you that what I've found is that most of them are refugees, and they're trying to escape and not replicate what they came from. And so I'm grateful for all of their comments and participation in helping us create a far better place.
You know, that deal about, I don't know if you heard about this whole, all of pretty much Eastern Oregon doesn't want to be in Oregon anymore. They don't want to be like Portland. Yeah. They actually have talked about seceding and joining Idaho. Yeah, and
the Greater Idaho Plan.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And I've seen Washington want to do the same too.
It's the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, when I went on a cruise, I went down to a cruise out of Galveston, Texas, and it was a family cruise. And I felt like on that cruise, I saw real America. There were family, moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, kids. And as loud as some of the people on that other side of the tracks are, I still believe America is what we all are talking about and what it's all about, especially in Washington County.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got some great people here.
All right. Let's again reiterate what's going on with this meeting as we wrap things up here. Okay. Guys, if you want to fire away with that.
Yeah. So, Andy, thanks again for letting us come on. We wanted to just make sure people were aware of the October 7th at 6 p.m. Hurricane Fine Arts Center. That's over at 92 South, 100 West in Hurricane. And you're welcome to contact the fire district if you'd like to also speak at the public hearing before the public hearing. So look forward to seeing people there and getting some input from them.
October 7th, 6 p.m. at the Hurricane Fine Arts Center, Truth in Taxation. And let's make sure Chief Decker has everything that he needs to get the job done, because you don't want to be that person who has a heart attack.
I want to protect my citizens, you know?
Exactly.
Everybody's. Yeah.
Well said. Thanks, guys, for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Out of time. Be back tomorrow with Open Lines for you, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.